This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Before, one more time, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And in Galatians 5, 22, 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Amen. Our subject, use the fruit. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much again for the opportunity to come and share. Speak now, God, that we, your servants, might hear and do. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been commanded, commissioned, and empowered to do God's will. Let me say that if you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, accepted him as your Lord and Savior, by the virtue of that, he commands us, he commissions us, and he empowers us to do his will. Now, I try my best to keep it simple, and I believe one of the prayers said for it to be plain. And a lot of people get caught up in what God's will is. I want to do God's will. I just want to make sure I'm doing God's will. And many times don't have a clue as to what God's will is. But I try to make it simple for us to understand what his will is so you can do it. How are you going to do something you don't know what to do? So we keep it simple. 2 Peter tells us that he's not willing that any should perish. So it's his will that none should perish. He wants everybody to know him. He wants everybody to have eternal life. That's God's heart's desire. That's what he wants. So he uses us to get that done. In Matthew 22, he gives us the great commandment. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." As Isaiah said earlier to us, that is not the great suggestion, it's the great commandment. All right. All right. That's what he calls upon those who love him, to love him and love others. It's a commandment that he's given us. And then after he commands us, that's in 22, then, and I'm trying to give it so you can kind of see how it works and where we are today. He gives us that. He's walking, talking, living on us. So if he gives us that, we should love. And he said, "The new commandment I give you, that you love one another." And then out of all the love he has, they kill him. Or to put it the way he said, he laid down his life. He allowed them to put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns in his head. On the cross, he died for your sins and my sins. But then early on that third day, he got up from the grave with all power. After getting up from the grave, he has his disciples assemble where he told them to come. And then he gives them, after they got the great commandment, now he gives them the great commission. After, you know, he's in bodily form, live, and before he ascends, he tells them, I want you to go and make disciples. Now, go and make disciples means he's saying what I want you to do is, I want you to go and make others who would learn what I've taught you. See, disciples are those who are learning, but they're not just learning for learning's sake. They're learning to apply. Just like the prayer said, they're learning to do the work that God has called us to do. So he says, now that you have me, I want you to help others to have me and then also do the work, not just say, I'm glad I got this information. All right. But then after he tells them that, before he ascends, he says, I will give you power in Acts chapter 1 when the Holy Spirit comes, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, you're going to be so empowered that you're going to be the witnesses that need to do my will. Amen. And then in Acts chapter 2, he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in the believers. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us again to empower us to do his will. I'll never forget, I've been to a couple of National Congress of Christian Education, and also Dr. Winfred Hope, who was Dean of the Congress of Christian Education for the state of Georgia. He said, to be honest with you, church folk, Christian folk, to be honest with you, he said, you already learned more stuff than you're going to do. We ain't got to teach nothing new. Just do what you know, and the world be a better place. So we understand that this is what God is calling to do. We've been commanded, we've been commissioned, we've been empowered, and there are no excuses. We have received the power God has given us. We talked about being his ambassadors. He empowered us to be ambassadors, and he's given us a message of reconciliation. He's given us something to take as his ambassador. Matter of fact, he says, let your light shine that others might see your good works and then give him glory. In other words, the work we do ought to speak for him, not just for us. Amen. He called to do that. So if you're saved, you will do the work God has called you to do. If you're saved, you will do the work God has called you to do. Right. Now, I want to be clear again, First African, and those on Facebook, First African, who didn't make it this morning, I'll be clear on this. It's my job to do what I can to make sure you don't miss heaven. It's as simple as it could get. My job is to make sure you don't miss heaven. And I'll be derelict in my job if I lull you to sleep very comfortably thinking that just because your name is on the roll at First African Baptist Church or any other church, that you got heaven. I want to be clear that you understand it's not just because you're a member of First African Baptist. And I've told you this once, I've told you twice, I've said 100 times, now here come 101. If you don't make it in, and you get to that place where an angel or something else stand in front of you, and you say, wait a minute, time out. I'm a member of the historic First African Baptist Church, where the Reverend Thurman Neal, don't call my name. You get in that situation, don't call my name, because I'm doing my best now to make sure you clear on what it takes to make it in. Now, I know you've heard that if you shall confess your mouth to Lord Jesus, confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. We're great with getting Jesus as Savior. Right. We're working on him being Lord. Yes. See, he has to be Lord and Savior. Yes. And he's adamant about us doing the things he wants us to do. You must not only come to Jesus, and we're glad you did, but we must also follow him. Yes. He said, anyone who will come after me must deny himself, take up the cross daily and follow me. So I don't want you to get caught in that trap where you came and you got a seat in the church but don't have a seat in the kingdom. All right, well, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure that God would do that. I mean, how can we do this stuff? How can we follow him that way? I'm glad you asked, because God really has put things in place. Whoever comes to me must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus says. So you ask, how do we do it? Practically, how do we follow him every day? How do we let the fruit of the Spirit live in us? You say, well, you know, I got to work. You know, I got to go to school. I got to do vacation. I got to you know, hang out with my friends. I got to spend so much time on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I got to keep up with the news. I got to watch my favorite shows. I got to put in your gotta there. I got to, you know, whatever it is. So how much time do I got to give to God? You know, is it 10% of my time maybe? Because you always talking about the tithe. So can I give him 10% of my time? Well, if you gave God 10% of your time, who get the 90%? So the question is, when do we do his will? See, God doesn't stop us from doing any of the stuff we talked about. He's fine with you doing all that stuff. God got, he gave it to you, you can have it. Enjoy everything. He comes, you might have life and have it more abundantly. But you still got to do the work of the one who's commanded, commissioned, and empowered you to do his will. So, when do we do it? How much time of the day should we devote to doing what God wants done? I'm glad you asked. Not 10%, not 20%, not just Sundays or Wednesdays or Thursdays. He commanded, commissioned, and empowered us to do his will every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. I know what you're saying. How in the world is that possible? How is that possible? Well, let me explain it. Tell you how it's possible. And again, have I convinced you that God expects us to do something, not just that he expects us to be his followers? Y'all got that? Because I got another thing I can plug in there if y'all don't quite get that. Oh, let me plug another thing. The way I know that Jesus is so adamant about us doing things is that one time they came to get Jesus when he was ministering, and they said, Jesus, your sisters and your brothers and your mothers out here, they're calling for you. He said, whoa, wait a minute. My brothers, my sisters, my mother are only the ones who would do the will of my Father. All right, that's Jesus speaking. But not just that one. There's another time when Jesus started telling them about a foolish man and a wise man. And he said that the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And Brother Graham, he wasn't just talking about building houses. But he said, the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the wise man built his house upon a rock. And he says that the house stood, but when the rain came and the storm came, the foolish man's house crashed. But the wise man's house stood firm. And I like to always say, I'm hoping he wasn't speaking eschatologically. And what I mean by that, I hope he wasn't speaking in the end days. That was his house, because it's something that God places in us to do certain things. Understand this. And I guess this is a moment. But if you got two perfectly nice looking houses with 3.5 baths, 3-car garage, and jacuzzi, and it both look nice, how can you tell which house has a leak? When can you tell that the house has a leak? Only when the storm comes. So Jesus wasn't talking about just houses. He said, the one who hears my word and does what it says and follows my word is like the man who built his house upon a rock. Now, so he must have been talking to church folk, because he said, and the others are the ones who hear my words and do not follow my words. It's like the man who built his house on the sand. And that house gonna collapse. In other words, follow, make it. Don't follow, don't make it. So how can we follow? How can we be what God wants us to be? Well, listen. God has given every saved person the fruit of the Spirit. What happened in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in us and dwelt among us, he dwells in us and empowers us. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he lives in us. God has given to the Holy Spirit the fruit of the Spirit. And from that, he wants us to bear much fruit. He's given us fruit so we can bear fruit. The much fruit will be others coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Therefore, his will be done, none should perish. It's his will be done. If we use the fruit, we use what he's given us to reach others who might need to come to know him. Yeah. All of us should be using what God has given us to cause others to come to know him. Much fruit will be others coming. He commands us to love because he loves. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, but God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because he loves the world, then he commissions us to go into the world and make disciples. Because he sends us, he empowers us with the Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit work in us? How does it work? We said last Sunday, he sends us as ambassadors. But he sends us not just with nothing at all. He sends us with the fruit of the Spirit to win a lost world and a hostile world to him. I just want you to get this today. I'm done. Use the fruit. Let me go through this briefly, just a moment. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, what God has placed in everyone who's come to know him, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I don't want to go too fast. Now notice it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. All of this makes up one fruit. So because you're saved, you got all of this. And you should actually have a desire to do the work of God. Here comes the part about, I don't want you to miss heaven. If you have no inclination to do the work that God really wants you to do, if you don't care about folk dying and going to hell, if you don't care about folk being killed on the streets of Savannah and they just get killed and they just die and you say, oh, there go another one. If you don't care about his work being done and have compassion for other people that they come to know Christ, you need to know you are not saved. You ain't saved. You isn't saved. You don't have Jesus. Now, the only reason I'm saying that is because I don't want you to miss heaven. Well, Pastor, I don't think you stand on solid ground. Anybody else preach like that to me, talking, I ain't saved because I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to do nothing because I don't want to do nothing. Ain't because I ain't saved. I'm just lazy. There's a difference between lazy and being unsaved. No, I'm just, he tells us so much. You know, we are saved by grace through faith. Amen. Ephesians 2. We're saved by grace through faith. Because I felt somebody saying that you sound like, Pastor, you're teaching salvation by works. Well, I want you to hear this. He said, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, but you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You were created to do good works because he so ordained that in you. Well, what does that mean? Break it down so you understand what I'm saying about this. How many of you were born, y'all were born of a physical birth of a woman? How many of y'all were born of a woman? I'm waiting. Born of a woman. How many of y'all still awake? Okay. All right. Just about everybody was born of a woman. Okay, all right. I got that. Everybody. When you were born physically, there's something that happened right after you came out. When you were born, something happened. Who can tell me what happened? The baby started doing what? Crying. And that was a signal that the baby just started doing what? Breathing. Oh, y'all some smart folk this morning. The baby started breathing. Hallelujah. Naturally. Once the baby was born, the baby's okay, the baby starts crying, the baby starts breathing. And guess what? Since that day, the baby kept on breathing. Now, you didn't have to hold a committee and say, you know, I move that the baby breathe today. I second the motion. No. The baby started breathing and the baby kept on breathing. Up to this day, the baby, unless there was an emergency, the baby kept on breathing. Because we were born naturally. But the Word of God is teaching us that when we are born spiritually, once we're born spiritually, we automatically have the desire, spiritually, naturally, spiritually, to do good works. What you ordained to do, once you're born again, when you're born again, you can't help but do good works. And nobody should have to have a committee to inspire you to go do good works. I think we ought to go evangelize. I second the motion. That's a part of what you do, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So the fruit of the Spirit, what God has given us to do this work, is He's given us a spirit of love. But not only love. We don't love. Now, love is agape love. That's where you don't love people because they did something for you. You love people in spite of what they've done. You're just going to love folk. He said, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. I know there are some people you can't stand, but God tell you to love them. And don't ever get to a point where you wish that certain people won't be in heaven with you. Because if you got some people that you wish would never be in heaven with you, you don't have to worry. They won't be in heaven with you. They won't. So He's placed within us love. Get over it. Whatever it is, forgive, get over it. Love like God wants us. Love like He loves you. Amen. And I like the way the audience put it, because if you love, you can't help but have joy. Amen. How you gonna let folks just steal your joy because you're not forgiving them of stuff they did? We could be having a good meeting right here and having a good worship experience right now. And we're doing great. Everybody's just praising, thanking God. And somebody could walk through that door who you can't stand. You go, oh my goodness, I can't believe they showed up here today. I'm leaving. How can you let somebody else have that much control over you and you in Christ? We got to have love. We have to have joy. This joy I have, the world didn't give it. But not only has He given us love and joy, He's given us peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. You shouldn't have to be staying up all night long, walking the halls and carrying on, and you can't sleep and you developing ulcers. You ought to know you ought to have peace like a river. Look at how the who God is. Amen. I heard one preacher say one day, he said, listen, we serve a God who slumbers not nor sleeps. So since God going to be up all night, I might as well go to sleep. Amen. He's given us love, joy, peace. This is what God has given us now. When you come and say, Lord, I need you in my life, He's given us peace. He's given us patience. I like the way King James put it. Long suffering. That's what you get from being saved. God has placed that in you as a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Patience. Think about it. So patient that when they blow the horn at you, you ain't got to blow it back. Patience that we'll be standing in the line. We don't have to be the one complaining. Oh, right there, we could take some time and say, you know, God is just great. Since we're standing here, let me tell you about Jesus. They talk about, oh, this is a long line. I don't know what she's doing up there. Yeah, I don't know what she's doing either. She's up. I got to go too. We witness from the things we do and how we act on a daily basis. You don't have to carry the biggest Bible around you can find and quote verses everywhere you go. You be the verse. Because you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Don't raise your hand on this one. I'm just asking a question. Don't look at anybody when I say this. I'm just asking a question. But wouldn't it be great if church folk could be kind? The Bible says, if you're saved, you are. The Bible says, if you're saved, you are. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit you have. You can't help but be kind. Preach to them. Holy Ghost, have your way. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Gotta have love. Say love.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Patience.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Now, you would think this would go with that, but it says goodness. In other words, you're not only kind, but you're good. That it's just some stuff you just won't do. Because you're gonna do what God would have you do. That you're gonna be good. You gotta put goodness, have a sense of morality. In everything you do, you're gonna be good. Not because you're so good, but because the God empowers you to be good. Yeah. Now, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. See, if you have faithfulness, all the other stuff kind of fall into place.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about being confused and mad and upset about everything that's happening. Because you know, and we know, that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. If you love God and you're abiding by the fruit of the Spirit, you got faith enough to know that God has your front, God has your back. You got faith enough to know that if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. You got faith enough to know that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You got faith enough to know that everything, not just will be all right, but everything is all right because God is still God all by Himself. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. What you worried about? I got faith. Your money gets funny. I got faith that God says when you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. My money ain't coming together. He said, well, if you pay your tithe, your offering, He will open the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing, but you will not have room enough to receive it. You got faith enough to believe God will do what He said He'll do. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Next one is gentleness. You see, when you get faith and you get all this stuff, sometimes we could get puffed up. I'm walking in Jesus. Look at that heathen there. You better come to know Jesus. Look at me. I go to church. I dress right. Look at gentleness. Understand that you're walking and you're representing God everywhere you go. Handle those situations with gentleness because of the Lord living in you. And gentleness goes right in hand with the last one. Self-control. Temperance. Self-control. Now, the only way you can control yourself is that God is in control of yourself. In other words, the stuff that you would have done, you say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You helped me. Okay, amen. I don't have to answer that way. Quit getting upset with folk who are not saved because they act like they're not saved. Folk who not saved supposed to act like they're not saved. They're not saved. Y'all understand that, right? No. Folk who not saved are not saved. And they're going to act like they're not saved. See, the frustration comes from the folk who say they're saved, but they try to act like they're saved, and they're not saved. And they frustrate you and themselves, too. But the process is simple. Now to all this, we look at this passage, and I want you to see where you are in it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of that is wrapped up into one. Yeah. And Jesus expects us to do this because we're saved and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Yeah. We have the fruit of the Spirit. Go on, tell somebody, I have the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You do know that He expects us to live this life. And when God saved us, He placed everything in us that we needed to do His will. He wasn't incomplete. When you got saved, the fruit of the Spirit is in you. Yeah. No, seriously. I know y'all looking at me kind of like, you know, I'm saved, but, you know, I'm no. You need to know that it's just like something else we've seen, we've heard about. Folk want to make a sauce, but you need to know we're better than Prego. I know they say it's in there. You know, you want tomato, it's in there. You need the sauce, it's in there. What you need to know, the love is in there. The faith is in there. The peace is in there. The joy is in there. The faithfulness is in there. The gentleness is in there. The self-control is in there. It's in there because God lives in you. It's in there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You ought to love everybody. Joy. You ought not walk around saying it all the time, talking about how terrible things are. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we must do the work. Tell your neighbor, we must work.
We must work.
You do know there's full employment in the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, everybody works. Put the fruit to work. Mm-hmm. Now, let me help us with this. Because some folk want to know, well, where am I on all this? How much of this do I have? You have all the food. You got everything you need. But let me help you with something. Remember when I talked about the house? The rock and the sand? The only time you know that there's a leak in that house is when a storm comes. Do you know why God allows stuff to happen in your life, when it happens, how it happens? Because sometimes we think we got it all together, and then He allows a storm to come. He allows the rain to come. He allows to look like the storm cloud won't pass over. He allows you to be in a situation you never thought you would be in, and it could be so devastating in your life, you don't know what happened. You could worship that car or worship that house or worship something, and something could happen to it in such a way that you would say words you thought you had forgotten. A lot of folk don't want to witness to their family or tell their family that they love the Lord because their family heard what they said when they closed their finger in the closet door. And folk quit to tell you, you can't tell me nothing. But everybody can tell everybody else about how great God is. Now, I know I went through this message, and I know some folk were hearing, yeah, I messed up. I've been sinning. The Holy Spirit lives in me, but I didn't realize that I could do all this, that God got the food in me. I got to use the food. Yes, you do. But just in case you hadn't quite gotten there yet, but you have accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you do believe He died for your sins, those forget. But just in case you haven't gotten all that step, He's telling us, don't stop where you are, grow.
Yes.
And you grow as you go.
Yes.
And tell a dying world about a living Savior.
Yes.
You got to go there. Well, Pastor, why shouldn't I be afraid? Why should I understand that I might miss heaven? I'm concerned that this might be a point that I miss heaven, and I don't understand because I haven't done all those things. I haven't been so forgiving. I haven't been so loving. I haven't had so much peace. I'm on medicine now to calm me down, and I'm on medicine to wake me up. How in the world I don't have it all together. I'm still doing stuff I don't need. I shouldn't be doing. Well, my brothers and sisters, that's why you understand. understand First African Baptist Church. Why every time when I get to this point, I get so excited because I haven't gotten to that point yet of getting everything right like God wanted right in my life either. But I tell you what I'm so excited about is that he sent his son through 42 generations who came to this earth and went about doing good. Out of all the good Jesus did, folk did talk about him. Folk did ridicule him. Folk did call him everything but a child of God. But Jesus kept on heading for the cross because he knew that one day you would need him. He knew I would need him. And look at our Lord and Savior. He allowed men to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head. And on the cross, because he loved you so much, on the cross because he loved me so much, he realized we're working to get and use all the fruit he placed in us. The fact that he came, he lived, and the Bible says he died for all of our sins, our past, our present, our future sins. He died on the cross, but the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night, but early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us, to empower us, to live like he wanted to live. And just because he died and he rose, that does not mean we don't have to do what he wants us to do. But we should get better every day. We should never get bitter, but we should get better for what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing. Well, how can he do it in us? He loves us, and it's his grace. It's his grace and mercy that brought us through. It's his grace that will keep us. It's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, but he loves us so much that he's guiding us in the midst of our trials. He's guiding us in the midst of our temptations. He's guiding us even when we don't get it right. He gives us another chance and another chance. And that's not an excuse to not get it right. But we ought to try even harder. No, don't try. Do like Nike. Just do it. Because the Lord loves us. The Lord cares for us. The Lord made a way for us. His grace. His mercy. Thank you, Lord. 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 Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.